in our hearing, and then ask God to help us understand and apply these truths to help us be all the better for gathering today. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for the truth. And now, Lord, would you help us as we look carefully at this passage that's open before us. Help us to see and understand the truth of the matter, and then Lord, help us to apply it in our lives that we might live according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, our subject for today is a miracle difficult to believe. A miracle difficult to believe. Now, you will remember in these past 3 weeks, we've been examining the conditions in the Old Testament where the birth of Christ was first proclaimed, right? And we've seen that when the birth of Christ was proclaimed, it was people were hurting. They were, in a lot of cases, they were perplexed. They were disillusioned about life. They were disillusioned about the present king that was supposed to do them right and who actually caused them harm. Or they were disillusioned about circumstances around them that were supposed to be right, and they weren't. And so the announcement of the birth of a future king and a future kingdom was intended to give people encouragement and hope. But the fact is, even though the majority of people heard this prophetic word, they didn't believe it. And when you don't believe it, even though something is intended to give you encouragement and hope, you don't benefit. Okay? And then we also notice that the majority of people who were the recipients of the prophecy, even right before Christ was born, did not believe it either. So it wasn't simply that people didn't believe it centuries earlier when it was first given. People continued not to believe the prophecy even up to right before Christ was born. And that's obviously the scene that we're taking a look at today. And so what I'd say to you as we begin to look at the sermon today, only those who believe the prophecy, regardless of the generation that you live in, only those who believe it will receive encouragement and hope. You know, the gospel, the whole intent of God sending his son into the world, sending a true king, sending one who will not fail, sending one who will not corrupt, sending one who will establish a kingdom that's based on righteousness and holiness. The only reason for that is for you to have hope. But if you don't believe, you will not have hope. Right? And I know I've taken a little different tack this December as we thought about Christmas. But it's mainly because I wanted you to see the difficult circumstance that people were in
and why the birth of Christ was important to them and why it should be important to us is that the birth of Christ, even though it's in the past for us, is to give us just as much hope as it did them, because he really was born and he really fulfilled all that God called him to, and he came once, he came the first time, and he is coming again, right? And so we have encouragement and hope likewise. So, as we look at these verses of our text, I got two thoughts that I want to take from them and see if we can't be encouraged likewise. The first one is in verse 18. I want to look at the circumstances surrounding the conception of Jesus Christ. The circumstances of the conception. And then in verses 19 through 25, we're going to look at what I call the response to the conception. All right? Let's dive in. So to begin with, we've got this word betrothed. You see that? Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. So let me make this introductory remark. I want you to be mindful of this. Matthew is telling the story of the birth of Christ from Joseph's perspective. Okay? It's from Joseph's viewpoint, as opposed to you read Luke, it's from Mary's viewpoint. You read what, you know, the angel came to Mary, and you read all of this dialogue between Mary and the angel. Well, you don't get that here, because it's something that God wants us to learn from Joseph. And so I'll cue you up for that right at the beginning of the sermon. What we're going to learn today is from Joseph's perspective. So I'm not trying to cover everything we should learn. You understand? We're going to try to learn, I believe, what was intended when this was written. So we look at Joseph and we learn from him, and that should help you and me. We got it? Okay, so that's the way we'll proceed. So betrothed then is, I know it's not a word that we use. probably the only time you hear it is when you come to church. But that's all right. But I want you to understand that it's more like what we would call engagement. Okay? So betrothal was a binding agreement between a man and a woman, where they were legally committed to each other to be married. Okay, and again, this is the same as what we would call engagement. Unfortunately, engagement in our culture, you know, is much weaker. It's very fickle, but that wasn't the case here. A person's word really was their bond, if you will. So it really was a bond that where two people were committed, even though they hadn't formally said the I do's. You know, you understand? So it was a legally binding pledge between a man and a woman to be married. Now, you learn this from history and from the Jewish tradition. This period of time typically was 1 year, okay? There's a lot of wisdom in people being engaged for a year to each other so that they can get to know each other, okay? A lot of things are revealed in time that people need to know before they are married. And so, in particular, this year would reveal if there was any infidelity. Okay, that was one of the rationales between people being betrothed for a year. Okay, and you get a sense of that. In 1 Corinthians 7, you all know that chapter on marriage in the New Testament? In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 36, 37, and 38. If anyone thinks he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, right, the one to whom he's engaged, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. So I don't know if you had seen that or not, but you get betrothed, you know, used right here in this marriage context to say that people ought to be engaged. And if you're engaged to that person, make sure your passions are what? With that person. Don't let your passions go flopping around all over the place. The purpose of engagement is to what? Concentrate to focus your passions on one person. You got it? To pledge yourself to them, even though you haven't formally made the vows. Y'all got it? And so that's the whole idea of betrothal. And it was such a firm pledge that it could only be broken by death or divorce. So then we see that Joseph was betrothed to Mary in the typical Jewish fashion. Now, you see how verse 18 reads. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So you got now pregnancy. Engaged, but coming up pregnant. That's the problem. You see? Because engagement meant abstinence. We're committed to each other, but we're not intimate with each other. You see? And so if I'm engaged and we're not intimate, but you're pregnant, that's a problem. Right? Amen. And so that's the circumstance that we see developing here. There was no sexual intimacy during betrothal. That's the reason you see the phrase, before they came together. Okay? Coming together was the consummation of marriage. Right? That's the whole idea of sexual intimacy. That's when marriage is consummated. You got it? And so what the Bible is portraying before us here is why this was a problem. Now, the pregnancy or the conception was miraculous. You notice what it says here? She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Bible wants us to know what is actually taking place, even though Joseph doesn't know. So you see that we're really at the advantage. It's really amazing how the Holy Spirit does these kind of things in the Scriptures. But you and I have to remember that we are seeing this from what? Joseph's perspective. All Joseph knows is, I've committed myself to this woman who is a virgin, and now we found out, or I found out, she is pregnant. Okay? But this is for us to, God wants us to understand, yes, but this is miraculous. There's no other human involved in this pregnancy but Mary. Joseph doesn't know that yet. So we've got to be patient and work with Joseph in this scenario. Luke 1:35 gives us that the details. You know, it comes to Mary and it says that the Holy Spirit will overcome you, overshadow you, and you know, and then she was going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So what's the point? Mary, the circumstances that we have here, and the child in this conception are holy. Everything we're looking at here is holy. Understand? So Mary has not sinned. There were no sinful circumstances here. This conception was of the Lord. Okay? But even when things are holy, you can be so misunderstood. Okay? Look at Christ. And he says, when you follow me, you can expect the world to misunderstand you. Now, we get a little snapshot of that here. Mary, who's submitted herself to do the will of God, now is going to be misunderstood. So then, that's the circumstance of the conception. Now let's look at what I call the response to the conception. Got verse 19. And her husband Joseph. Now you notice, they're not married, but the Bible refers to Joseph what? As her husband, because that's how serious betrothal or engagement was. Okay, they hadn't formally made the vows, but that's what betrothal meant. You were committed to your spouse. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now notice this. Let's look at Joseph's plan. He is her husband, legally and formally. And you notice that Joseph assumed that she had committed adultery. That's the only reason he was going to divorce her. Okay? Because you do realize that up until the New Testament, when we get a little bit more instruction, the only basis for divorce was adultery. Do we understand that? Now you had, obviously, when Christ came, people were getting divorced for all kinds of reasons, right? You remember, they asked Christ, can a man divorce his wife for any reason at all, right? He says, in the beginning, it what? It was not that way. It was not so. Right. Moses permitted you to do that because of what? The hardness of your heart. Right. But the only biblical basis of divorce was adultery. And so this brother, being a righteous and just man, feels that he has grounds for what? Divorce. Why? Because my virgin wife is pregnant. The way you get pregnant, right? I mean, now you got to see this from Joseph's perspective, okay? So he was a man who... Now, here's what I want you to see, because I'm not going to be long today. I want you to see why I call this a miracle difficult to believe. Joseph finds it hard to believe that Mary could be pregnant by any other way than the natural way. You would too. It's just like Peter seeing Jesus walk on the water. It's never happened before. Okay, so this is not a knee-jerk reaction. Joseph is actually following what? The law. He's following the word of God. Okay, and so we shouldn't find it strange that 2,000 years later, people still find it hard to believe that this could actually happen. It was difficult for Joseph, who was involved, and it's difficult for people even today. Joseph obeyed the law of God, and he was compassionate. Do you see verse 19 again? And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, that's important. Because typically, in the Old Testament, divorce was public and shameful. If a woman had committed sexual immorality, the whole idea of the law was to publicly embarrass her. And do you know, before divorce was permitted, you know what the penalty for adultery was? Death. Divorce was a gracious concession. But the reason God doesn't want us to take divorce lightly is divorce is the same as death. Those two become what? Dead to each other. You got it? It's not this plaything that people, you know, people treat it so lightly today. Trial and error. If we don't like it, we're in and out of marriage, or we'll do it again or a third time. No. It was the gracious conception to death. So that's the reason the Bible cautions you before you do it. There is no coming back together. There's no oops. Okay? And so Joseph is following the law here. Okay? And but he's a compassionate man. He did not want Mary to be publicly shamed and embarrassed. You see, this is the heart of a man who loves God. He loves God, he loves the law, and he wants to obey the law. You know, stay with me now. And so he planned to divorce her privately. Here's the point that I take from here. And you got to think with me now. Sometimes something miraculous or wonderful can happen. And you can, you remember what AJ said? It's like watching a magician. You know what you saw, right? I mean, in that sense, that's comprehension. I comprehended that this was this way and now it's that way. But it's hard for me to apprehend that could be real. You understand? Joseph has this dilemma now. I know that Mary was not pregnant, and now she is. And she tells me that this is of God, not a man, not another man. Now, I know the facts, but I cannot, from Joseph's perspective, I cannot apprehend, I cannot get my brain around that particular issue, okay? So that's the reason Joseph had his plan. The best thing for me to do when I don't understand is to obey God. Follow this. For all of us as Christians, when you find yourself in a dilemma and you don't know what to do, obey God. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you why that's so wonderful here. Even when you find yourself confused. So there he is. He's made a plan. And from his perspective, this plan is what? Pleasing to God. Because this is what the scriptures say. Now, I'm going to show you how good God is. Even when you've read your scriptures and you got all your principles down and you figure like, I'm ready. I'm doing what God wants me to do. But I have to be open, right? The mind of man plans his way, but what? The Lord directs his steps. Got it? Amen. So, that's Joseph's initial plan. Then look at this. Look at God's wonderful intervention when a saint is making an error. Now, it wasn't an intentional error. It wasn't a flagrant error. It was a well-intended act that he thought would be pleasing to God. And in the most respectful way, you understand, trying to respect Mary. This is so good. God's intervention. Let's look at what he does here. God faithfully reveals his will. Look at verse 20. Now, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is so good. God faithfully reveals his will. And God uses many different means to reveal his will, right? In this case, he used a dream and an angel. Now, don't think that that's the only, you know, you shouldn't sit around and think that the only way God's going to communicate to you is what? Through a dream and an angel, but that's the way he communicated to Joseph. The fact is that he communicated to him. That brother had decided that I'm going to do the will of God. This is as much as he knew. God says, let me get some more information to him. Isn't that good? God is faithful, and He will make His will known to all of those who are willing to know His will. Amen. He'll use other people. He obviously uses what? The scriptures. He uses circumstances. God will even use nature to make you know, to reveal His will, right? To prevent you. Some doors look like they're open, but they're really not. And God closes those doors, and you think people are against you. God is at work in all things, right? He's causing what? All things to work together for good. To who? Those that love Him. Those that are called according to His purpose. And I know there's, it's frustrating at times. You can't figure it out. But He's at work. And here He is at work in this brother's life to keep him from making a grave error. That's God's love. It doesn't look or feel like love at times, because it seems like things are just, think of Joseph. It's caving in on me. I had all my hopes built. We had this wonderful wedding. I spent all this money. Think of it. Think of how this is the great day of his life. The joy of marrying the love of your life. And I just got a hole in my heart. This is really, I mean, from his perspective, this is tragic. And look at God get right in there with him. To say, no, Joseph, this is not as bad as you think. That's good. It's not as bad as you think. As a matter of fact, this is not bad at all. All right. Isn't it amazing how we can, it's all a matter of what? Perspective. And so the other thing I notice here is that God's will is so understandable. You notice here, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, got verse 20? Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. That's it. That is the will of God made clear. Now I want to show you something. God just gave Joseph his will for Mary. Did you see it? Verse 21. What's Mary? What's the will of God for Mary? She will bear a son. What's the will of God for Joseph? You shall call his name Jesus. What's the will of God for Jesus? He will save his people from his sins. Their sins. This is wonderful, isn't it? There's no more mystery. This thing seems like it was an utter disaster. God moved in and said, no, Joseph, this is working out according to my plan. This is, in fact, my will. Mary is going to have a son. I know you weren't planning a son. Particularly, you weren't planning one like this. This way and this soon. But Joseph, this is wonderful. You have no idea what's going on here. But Joseph, listen to me. She's going to have a son. Joseph, this is what I want you to do. I want you to name him Jesus. And this is what he's going to do. This is so good. He's going to save his people from their sins. And you thought that this was a tragedy. You thought that your life had fallen apart. You thought the bottom had just fallen out of your life. And you probably thought it can't get any worse than this. Joseph, this is the best day of your life. God is so good. He is so good. He's at work. He is at work. And then, and you notice, you remember that phrase? He says, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Fear can oftentimes keep us from God's best. Fear because it's unfamiliar. Fear because I can't figure it out. Fear because I had another plan. And this is not working anyway like I had planned it. Fear can keep us from God's best. So God says to Joseph. Now, this is a wonderful thing. God is speaking to Joseph when he's got him a captive audience, right? He's asleep. He's speaking to him in a what? In a dream. And so he says to him, Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife.
My, this is good. This is good. Fear will keep us from knowing and doing God's will. And then the last thing I notice in these verses is that the will of God will never, never, never contradict Scripture. See verse 22? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Now, most of y'all have been with me this month. Have we seen that before? Remember? Back in Isaiah 7? Remember, I believe King Ahaz, you know, he said, you want a sign? And, no, you know, he's being pious. I'm not going to test God and ask for a sign. Well, God's going to give you a sign anyway. Right. A virgin shall bear a son, and what? Shall call his name Emmanuel. So here we have the fulfillment of Scripture for Joseph to understand. Joseph, you know your Bible. And what I want you to know, you are actually a part of my great plan. You're living hundreds of years after that prophecy was made. And here I am bringing it to pass and using you. Joseph, this is the best day of your life. And so even when believers are confused and doubtful, fearful, even when believers are perplexed and discouraged, even disobedient, God faithfully intervenes to make his will known. Think of Moses. Moses assumed that he'd really blown it in life. You know that? He'd had been in Egypt. He'd lived a wealthy life. Remember, he killed the Egyptian, and then he kind of exiled himself out in the desert. But God found him there, right? And Moses was, timid, that he couldn't do. He was doubtful that he could do what God was calling him to do. But God intervened, what? Anyway. And he showed Moses, I'm going to use you anyway. Moses, I know your limitations, but I chose you. Right? As you look at David and his shortcomings, right? God chose David, even though he knew his weaknesses and his failures. He still chose him. He didn't change his mind on him, right? Jonah. God chose Jonah, and even though he knew what he told Jonah to do, he was going to do what? Just the opposite. But God didn't give up on him just because what? He did the opposite. God met him while he was running away, intervened, right? Yes. God is good. He's faithful. He knows you and me. Amen. He knows your fears and your apprehensions, your doubts. He knows what you're going to do when he calls you to do something, and he's got a plan. Amen. It's all working. That's all according to his plan. You don't surprise him. They're good. God intervenes in spite of our shortcomings and our failures. I mean, think of it. God knew he was going to choose Rahab. He knew she was a prostitute. Right? Or he knew about Naomi and how Naomi's heart was going to be broken when she and her husband and family left and get out there and her husband and all her sons died. He knew that that he was still going to use Naomi, right? And he knew that even though she didn't have a husband or sons to take care of her, he's going to give her a Gentile daughter-in-law that's going to stick with her and actually become the source of her future income. God is at work. And he knew that Naomi, these circumstances are bringing a woman that's going to be in the genealogy of Christ. I know it hurts right now, but I'm working it all out. And I'm using you. This is amazing. This is amazing. That with all of our weaknesses and failures, God, it's all a part of the plan. God knew that Gideon wasn't going to go and fight when he told him to. He knew Gideon was going to say, well, Lord, you know I need a few signs. I ain't really that courageous. So maybe if I throw a few challenges out there, God will choose the next person. No, no. When he chose you, he knew all that. And he knew you were going to balk and all of that. Isn't that good? Yes. So he, obviously, Joseph's response here has not surprised God, and he still intervenes. All right, lastly, let's look at this last point and we'll be done. The last thing I want you to notice is Joseph's humble obedience. And you see that in verses 24 and 25. Hearing, this is really important now. And y'all have been patient up to this point. Just stay with me in this right at the end here. When you finally hear from God and you know his will, then you will be convinced to obey. Okay? I can't convince you. Other people can. We can try to persuade you. But it's only when you've heard from God. Now, you may hear from God through people. That's wonderful. But it's when you know you have heard from God that you are convinced to obey. I didn't just hear from Willie or this one or that one. I just heard God speak to what? Me. I'm convinced that God is talking to me. Right? And that's where Joseph is. Hearing from God and knowing God's will convinced Joseph to obey. That's what I see in verse, look at verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Isn't that good? This is a man who already had his mind made up. He already had the plan laid out. He'd already decided how he was going to divorce her, how it was going to be private. We don't know. I'm probably sure he had made arrangements for this to happen. But God met him. And just in that brief encounter with God, he changed all of those plans. Why? Because God's way and God's will is better than any plan that I have. Amen. Right? Even when it doesn't make sense. This is still hard to believe, but I believe, I trust God. Right? You getting this? Amen. I trust God. And so what I want you to see is that faith overcomes fear. Faith overcomes doubt. Faith overcomes confusion. Faith even overcomes personal opinions. My personal opinions is that this is going to make me look bad. I know what's going on here. I know folks are going to be talking about me. I know they're going to call me a this and a that. But I've heard from God and it doesn't matter. Amen. Right? Yeah. Faith allows you to lay hold of God's will and let the consequences be what they may. This is amazing. This is amazing. Now, this is the same Joseph. Now, don't miss this. This is not a different man. This is the same man with his doubts and fears, but he has heard from God, and he is convinced to do what God wants him to do. Faith trusts God even when I don't understand it. You know how the Proverbs writer says it? What? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not. Do not lean to your own understanding. What had Joseph done? Joseph had leaned to his own understanding and not what? Trusted in the Lord. At least until he got further what? Insight. Until he finally, from Joseph's perspective, he was doing God's will. And my brother, my sister, you and I have to accept that fact. There are times when, as far as you know, you're right. But you got to be open to God redirecting. Matter of fact, you've got to be open to God radically changing what you think is right.
Absolutely.
You getting this? That's what we see in Joseph. And I want you to see that Joseph obeyed God completely. You got verse 24. You notice that, what did he do? He kept Mary, he kept his marital vows. It says, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Secondly, you notice that he kept Mary pure. See verse 25, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Side note, I remember a number of years ago, one of my bosses at Southwestern Bell, we were in the office one day, and I know he was a real staunch Catholic, and so he came up to me and he was asking me some questions. It was around Christmas time, I think, not exactly, but getting in that season, and so he asked me about Mary and the birth of Christ, and I said, yeah, she had other children. He said, no. It was shocking to him. I took him over to Matthew 13, I believe it's verse 55, and I showed him, the truth of the scriptures. Is this not the carpenter's son? And, is Mary not his mother? Does he not have brothers and sisters? And I never saw a man so shocked in his life. So don't misunderstand. Joseph keeping Mary pure is when it comes to Christ. He didn't want any scandals that this could possibly have been his son, biologically. So there was no intimate sexual relationship between them. But all the other brothers and sisters were natural. You understand? And so this is wonderful that this man so loves God, so respects what God is doing and his wife, that he's willing to deny himself and do what's best, what is the will of God and what is best for his wife and the child. Because that's the last piece that I see here. When you see that he is obeying God, you notice that he adopts Jesus to care for him as his own son. Because I know you may not necessarily know this, but it says, and he called his name Jesus. When a father names his son, he claims him as his own. So he adopted. So when the scriptures say, is this not what? The carpenter's son. From everybody else's understanding, this was Joseph's son. He raised him what? As his own. Isn't this good? This was the man that had the plan to do just the opposite. He wasn't going to have anything to do with Mary or the child. And now he owns and loves both of them. Why? Because he heard from God and found God's will. I want to be real fair and honest as we close today. If we're going to deal fairly here, we will have to admit that Mary and Joseph were both reluctant to obey God initially, right? Remember that? Mary was just as reluctant when she first heard, when the angel presented this whole scenario to her. You remember that? She was just as shocked that she could be. And didn't, her question was, how can this be? I'm a virgin, right? And so Mary and Joseph were both reluctant initially because this miracle was so amazing. It was difficult to believe, right? It was difficult to believe. And I want to say this to you. God does not choose or use people because of their accomplishments in society or their worth to society. God chooses and uses people because of your worth to him. because of your value in His plan. From the world's perspective, there are not many rich, not many powerful, not many, right? You know that whole list there in 1 Corinthians 1? He says that I didn't choose you because you were among the elite. I chose you because I wanted you. Okay? I knew what I would make of you. And that's what He has done here with Mary and Joseph. He has chosen those who were weak, those who were insignificant to society. And that's the reason this Christmas story, if you will, has such significance, because God uses people like Joseph and Mary. So what can we learn? What can we learn, my brothers and sisters, from Joseph and Mary today? The first thing I'd say to you is we can learn that God chooses and uses ordinary people for extraordinary purposes, okay? He chooses and uses people like you and me for very extraordinary work and purposes in the kingdom of God, okay? We can learn that God's plans and purposes for our lives may interrupt something extremely important to you, okay? For Mary and Joseph, this wedding was extremely important. But God's mission and God's purposes supersede any plans that you and I have made. Our scholastic plans, our career plans, I'll tell you something else. He even interrupts ministry plans. You remember Paul and his entourage were trying to get into Asia? Remember that in the book of Acts? God interrupted that mission to show them that He actually wanted them to go into Europe. So you and I shouldn't be so rigid in our plans that you resist God when He's interrupting something, marriage plans that you've made, family plans that you've made, career plans that you have made. God's plan for our lives will eventually require us to risk public reputation. Both Mary and Joseph had to be willing to risk what the public was going to say about them in order to do God's will. You've got to be ready for that, my brother and my sister. If you haven't denied yourself, well, first of all, you have to deny yourself to be saved. But you've got to continue to deny yourself to serve God in the way He wants. You've got to be willing to risk financial stability. If you're determined to always stay financially secure, you're going to miss God's will. You've got to be willing to risk your health, and because there's dangerous circumstances that He may call you to be exposed to, right? We cannot treasure anything more than obeying God as we learn to trust Him. God knows our initial reaction to His call for obedience, and He will graciously intervene. He will graciously intervene to build our faith and encourage humble obedience. Every act of obedience to the will of God plays a significant part in the plan of redemption. And here's my concern. I don't want anybody to leave here thinking that you got to wait until something like the birth of Christ is going to happen in your life before you can have a significant. That's not, no. What we should learn here is that whatever act, whatever God calls you to do, that's important. You don't know. You see, Joseph didn't know how all of this was going to play out. All that he knew is that I've heard from God, I know this is God's will, and I need to do that. And I'm saying to you and me, we need to do the same. God has His plan is massive, and we have a role in it. He's not calling superstars. He's using what? Ordinary people. Mary and Joseph weren't famous. There was no fame with them, okay? And so you and I shouldn't sit back and think that my contribution is insignificant. You're wrong, my brother, my sister. When you know God's will, do it. Do it. That's the most important response of your life. When you have heard from God and you know what He's calling you to do, do it.
We must learn today to trust and obey even when we don't understand.
Even when you are afraid.
Even when you are doubtful. And even when you are discouraged.
Because God is at work, causing all things to work together for good.
And if you're not a Christian, I'm asking you to trust Jesus to save you today, even if you don't understand. I'm asking you to see that even when salvation seems to be hard to believe,
I'm asking you to trust Jesus because He can save you even when it seems impossible to you.
He can save you even when you think that He may save others, but not you. He can save. So for all of us today, would you not let the difficulty in a matter in believing it be a hindrance from you faithfully laying hold of it? Father, as we humbly think about these matters today, you know in our own lives those things that are hard for us to believe, hard for us to accept. And so we need your help today. Just like Mary and Joseph, we need your help. Meet us where we are. Speak, Lord. Help us to hear and know your will. And then grant us great grace and joy to do your will even when we don't understand. Help us today to trust you with all our heart and not lean to our understanding. Help us today to be willing to be used in our ordinary makeup, to be used for your glory and your purposes. And I pray that you would bring someone to yourself today, whether here personally or someone listening at a distance, Lord. I pray that you would encourage someone here today or someone listening at a distance, that they may know that difficulty in believing never stops you, Lord. You are God and you are faithful and you are able to reach the heart. And may every heart who's willing to know your will know it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow together for just a few minutes.